I began to work on this shir on the 2nd of Nisan, which is the yard site of my grandfather, Yecheskel Yehoshua ben Harav Avram Yitzchak, and I concluded it during the Levaya of the Chazan and Kala who were recently killed. So I'd like to say this shir, Zecher Nishmas, all of them. There's always a story as to how I came to a specific topic, and this time is no exception. The shul that I often daven in had a large bima, and it disappeared. It was removed from the shul. And although there are still many shuls with large bimos, I think that this topic could use some chizuk. A few years ago, Rabbi Abramowitz of OU Torah posted an article that I wrote on the differences between the bima and the amud. And in this shiur, we're just going to focus on the bima, we're going to go into a little more detail, and we're going to see all the sources inside. Just regarding the sources, so many of these, most of them actually, are taken from a shiur from Rabbi Yom Shlomo Hamiger on this topic, and you could email me, I'll send you a link to that shiur. And some were taken from our previous bima amud shiur, and a couple of them are new. Now, this shiur is being prepared for Shavuos, and the connection to Shavuos, as you'll see, is very obvious. So we can begin by asking, why should there be a raised bima in shul? The Shulchan Aruch doesn't really mention such a halacha, and it's difficult to find a source in the poskim on the subject. So why do we do it? It can't be because we want the Torah to be in a different rishus so that people could sit during laning or some similar reason to this, since the Shulchan itself is already considered its own rishus. It's over 10 tefachim high. It meets the requirements of its own rishus. So the first point we should mention is that whatever the reason is for the bima, it's the opposite in terms of the amud. The shliach tzibur needs to daven at least on the ground, or preferably in a low location. Let's see what the Shulchan Aruch says on this. So if you look in source number one, Shulchan Aruch writes, HaMispalel Lo yamud al gabe mita, the person who davens should not stand on a bed, velo al gabe kise, or on a chair, velo al gabe safsal, or on a bench, ta'afilu im'enam givoim gimel, even if they're not three tefachim high, velo al gabe makom gavoa, you can't daven on any high location. Now, the Mishnah Berurah explains the reason for this is due to the fact that when you are in a high location, you might be scared. So let's see source number two. The Mishnah Berurah writes, Mipnei shekishehu omid alehem, when he's standing on one of these high things, hutarud, the yare, shema yipol, he thinks the whole time I might fall. Lo yuchal lechavin b'tfilaso, he's not going to be able to properly concentrate. So this actually might help us to understand why the bima is surrounded by mechitzos. If there is a fence around the bima, the Baal Kore, or in a Sephardi shul, the Shliach Tzibur, since Sfaradim don't have an Amud, won't be afraid, and he's going to be able to concentrate on his davening. Another point the Shulchan Aruch mentions is that one is not allowed to daven in a high location, and the Mishnah Berurah explains the reason for this is that we do not want to show haughtiness before God. So let's see 3a and 3b. Lefi she'ein gafus lefnei hamakom, because there's no haughtiness before God. Shnemar mimamakim karasicha Hashem, I call out to God from the depths, from a low location. So if you go down to 3b, he writes Kasav Amagin Avram she'achshav nohagu she'hamakom she'ashliach tzibur omed alav hu amok misha'ar beis hakneses. The location where the shliach tzibur davens from, the amud, is supposed to be sunken down into the floor of the shul. Mishum mimamakim kerosicha Hashem, because we call out to God from the depths. V'lochein nikra hashatz b'chol makom yored lifnei hateva, which is the phrase we tell the chazan to go down to daven. Why down? Because it's physically in a low location. So this we've all discussed in the past. So at this point, we know that one should not daven in a high location at all, since it is associated with haughtiness. But if you are in a high location, you need to be in a situation that you're going to be able to concentrate when you daven, and mechitzos can solve that issue. So now we're back to our original question. When it comes to Kriyas HaTorah, why should the bima be raised? Now, the only indication we get from Shulchan Aruch It's mentioned by the Rama in Simen Kuf Nun, Halacha Hei, where the Rama writes that we need everyone to hear the laning. So if you look in source 4, the Rama writes, V'osin bima v'emsa beis hakneses, we make a bima in the middle of the shul, she'yamod aleha hakori batorah, v'yishme'u kulam. So people will be able to hear what the Baal Kore is saying. So we're going to get back to this point later on. Now, the Rama doesn't tell us about the height of the bima, but the Mishnah Berurah fills us in and tells us that based on the Magen Avraham in the name of the Zohar, one may not have more than 6 steps leading up to the bima. So if you look in source number 5, the Mishnah Berurah writes, "Ve'ein osin yoser mishesh madregos lebima." You don't make more than 6 steps. So we know you need to go up. And the Zohar advises not to have more than 6 steps. There's a machlokas among the Achronim if a bima should specifically have 6 steps, or any height, as long as it doesn't exceed 6 steps, and that would be okay. So I did a search online, and it seems that most shuls, based on the pictures that I've seen, have between 1 and 3 steps, but several also came up that had 6 steps. So, again, why should the bima be high? Can we find more information on this topic outside of the Shulchan Aruch? So the first reason we can give comes from the name itself. A person is Ole LeTorah. You get an aliyah. This term, Ole LeTorah, clearly means a spiritual lift, but in shul, we make a physical representation of this in that one must walk up to the platform where the Torah is read from. So the name aliyah implies height. Now, why should there be a physical representation associated with an aliyah? The Torah was given on Har Sinai, which was above the nation. The Torah records that the nation was on the bottom of the mountain and that Moshe went up. So we actually find the term Oleh used 6 times. I just copied those psukim down. If you look in source number 6, Moshe Allah El Ho'elokim. It says, Hishamru lachem alos bahar, vaya'al Moshe, la'alos el har Sinai, v'alisa atav aronimach, v'ha'am al yehersu la'alos el Hashem. So this phrase is used constantly again and again. Now, reading the Torah in shul is considered a reenactment of Matan Torah, and we therefore read the Torah from a high location in our own Mikdash Me'at. Many discuss this idea that reading the Torah is a reenactment of Sinai, and the Zohar spells this out for us. If you look in number 7, the Zohar writes, Vahu dekari b'araisa, the person who reads in the Torah, Yishave libe ureuse li'inun milin, he should direct his heart to these words, V'chi'ihu shlicha demare, v'sidura dahani milin, l'mishma l'chol ama, d'ha'ihu kaim, kidugma ila'a. So, I'm just going to read the translation that I found for this online. He who reads from the Torah must direct his heart and will to these words, and he must understand that he is a messenger of the Holy One, blessed be he, in arranging these words to cause them to be heard by all the people as he stands as if he were God. So the Baal Koreh is kind of the representation of God reading the Torah, and we are reenacting the Sinai experience. In case this doesn't sit well with you, we could see that Rav Soloveitchik discusses the same idea. If you look in number 8, which is on page 2, the purpose of reading the Torah aloud in the synagogue is not solely to teach the congregation, but also to arrange an encounter with God, as experienced by our ancestors at Har Sinai. Every act of reading from the Torah is a new giving of the Torah, a revival of the wondrous stand at the foot of the flaming mountain. The reading of the Torah is a staging of the giving of the Torah, and a renewal of the awesome sublime experience. The revelational experience is reenacted whenever the Torah scroll is removed from the ark for the reading in the synagogue. The reading of the Torah thus contains an element of revelation of the Shekhinah. So then it goes on to explain Rav Soloveitchik's opinion that someone should stand during Torah laning. So this is all nice, but do we have any proof that people understood it this way? Do we find in practice that they had a high location for the Torah, just like the Torah was given on a mountain? We find in Divrei Hayamim that when Zechariah HaNavi was saying Nevuah to the people, he said it from a high location. So if you look in source number 9 on page 1. It says, "V'ruach Elokim lavshas Zecharia ben Yehoyada haKohen vayamod me'al la'am." He stood above the people. "V'yomer lahem ko'amar Elokim lama atem ovrim es mitzvos Hashem v'lo satzlichu yatzavtem es Hashem v'ya'azov eschem." So he's giving over a nevuah here. And Rashi says that the reason that he stood over the people is so they could hear him properly. Rashi says in number 10, Me'ala'am, Gavoa mikola'am, kidei lahashmiya kolo. So they should be able to easily hear his voice. Because when someone speaks, usually you stand so you could be heard. So this sort of works for us, as the people were listening to a nevuah. But do we have any more sources that are more explicit regarding Kriyas HaTorah? So if we look at the famous Torah reading by Ezra, we see the following pasuk in number 11. It says in Nehemiah Ches pasuk Dalid, "Vayamod Ezra haSofer al Migdal Eitz asher asu laDavar," on a Migdal Eitz. So this is the first time that we see the term Migdal as referring to the Bima, and as we know, a Migdal is something which is high. The term Migdal is used in the poskim from the Middle Ages and on, instead of the word Bima. And this is based on this pasuk in Nehemiah. The poskim take it for granted that we know that this is a high location, and many older bimos are very high. So here we have an explicit mention of the practice of reading the Torah from a high location. Now similarly, we find in the times of Chazal that when the mitzvah of Hakel was done in the Beis HaMikdash, it was done on a bima. So let's see the Mishnah in Sota, number 12. The Mishnah says, "Parshas HaMelech Ketzad, Mutzai Yom Tov Harishon Shel Chag," so this is talking about Sukkos, "Bashmini b'motzai Shavias, Osin lo bima shel Eitz ba'azara." They would make a wooden bima in the Azara. So again, we see from here that the Torah was read in a high location. Now, we still haven't seen a source which explicitly mentions reading the Torah from a high location in Shul. The Gemara in Sukkah describes the shul in Alexandria in Mitzrayim, and among the list of what makes this shul so special is the fact that it has a large bima in the middle. The Gemara in Sukkah says, "Tanya, Rabbi Yehuda Omer, Mishelo ra dioplustom shel Alexandria shel Mitzrayim lo ra bechvodon shel Yisrael." A person who has not seen the dioplustom of Alexandria Mitzrayim hasn't seen the honor of Yisrael. So exactly what this means, dioplostom, so I looked in the art school, he has a note. He says, Rashi states that this is a Greek word meaning a double row of benches set aside for the nobility. According to him, it is a combination of three Greek words, dio, meaning two, plo, meaning aristocrats, perhaps from plutos, Greek for wealthy, and siton, which Rashi connects to sitav, a word which Rashi in several places defines as a bench, or row of benches. Others suggest that this is a Greek word signifying a double colonnade from diplus, meaning double, and stoa, meaning a roofed colonnade. So I don't know if it means that they called this shul dioplostom based on its architecture, or this is just a word which kind of means the architecture of this shul. I'm not exactly clear on that. But anyway, there's a list of things that makes this shul special, and if you skip down to the bold words, it says, "Ubima shel eitz be'emtza isa," there was a wooden bima in the middle of this shul, "V'chazen ha'kinesis omed aleha," so the chazen, so this doesn't mean the chazen davening, this means like a shamish, "stood on top of this bima," "V'hasudarin biyada," with a flag cloth in his hand, "V'kevan she'igia la'anos amein," when it came time to answer amein, "Halo Menef Besudar," he would wave this flag, "V'chala'am Onin Amin." So this shul was so large, this dioplustom was such a large building, that you were unable to hear the Shliach Tzibur. So the only way people knew when to answer Amin was when this Shamish would raise a flag up, everyone would answer Amin. Now, we can't really say that this is talking about laning, because we didn't mention laning at all. But based on everything we know and have learned so far, we could probably safely conclude that they also leaned from this location. So I was actually kind of curious about this shul in Alexandria, such a massive big shul. I figure there must be some sort of information about it. So I looked online about shul in Alexandria, and comes out that there is a shul called the Eliyahu HaNavi Shul, and the claim is that this is the shul that the Gemara is talking about. So this is based on an article in Haaretz. It's entitled, Replica of Ancient Egypt Synagogue Arrives at Tel Aviv Museum. With its awe-inspiring size and boulevard lined with columns, the Eliyahu HaNavi Synagogue of Alexandria once served the community of 40,000 Jews. Today, a miniature version is available for Israelis and tourists to admire. Now, skipping. The synagogue in Alexandria, Egypt's second largest city, is considered to be the biggest in the Middle East. It was built in its current form in the mid-19th century, but prior to that, it was destroyed twice, the last time under the decree of Napoleon. It was later repaired by an Italian architect and financed by members of the local Jewish community together with Sir Moses Montefiore. Skipping again. In the 2nd century, Rabbi Huda Bar Eloi praised the synagogue of Alexandria and its boulevard lined with columns, saying it was so large that he who stood by the chazan had to wave a flag to signal the praying congregants when to say Amen. So if you go online and look at pictures of this shul, you'll see how massive it is with these major column, and gives us some idea of what this word dioplostone means. The Rambam, in Hilchos Tefillah, speaks out these points clearly, and he states explicitly that you need to lean from a high location so that people may hear. And this is what the Rambam mentioned earlier, but the Rambam is a little bit clearer in that the Rambam leaves off the phrase that one should go up on the bima. So let's see number 14. The Rambam writes, Ma'amidim bima. The emsa habayis, you put a beam in the middle of the shul, kdei sheyale aleha hakori b'torah, that the person who's laying should go up onto this platform. Oh, now we add an additional point. Miasher omer la'am divrei kivushin, kdei sheyishme ukulam. So the second point he's adding is that the rav gives his musar from the bima. So one reason for this is, as we said, that he'll be easily understood. And the second point, we've spoken out a number of times, that in all of Klal Yisrael, we used to be very careful that one should not have their back to the Aron. And the mechitzos around the bima make a separation between the Aron and the Rav's back, but it seems that everyone today is basically makel about this. The question then comes up, if the Baal Koreh is in a different rishus, how can Baruch Hu and Kaddish be said? And the poskim say that this is okay, since everyone could see each other. This causes a tziruf, a connection, between those on the bima and those in the rest of the shul. So now, getting back to the Rama, because the Rama didn't spell out that people should go up onto the bima, this might be a reason that people have been kind of makel about this whole thing. There's one more reason we can give as to why the bima should be raised, and this comes from the Chassam Sofer. The Chassam Sofer was dealing with the issue of taking the bima from the center of the shul, moving it to the front. And this is something that the Reform movement pushed, since they wanted the shul to be like a church. Now, I'm not quite sure that I fully understand the Chassam Sofer, but this is how it was explained to me in a more expansive form. So let's just discuss it first, and then we'll see it inside. He compares the bima to the inner and the outer Mizbeach. The inner Mizbeach was in the center of the Kodesh. By the outer Mizbeach, they used to walk around with Aravos, and we do as well, and the Mizbeach was high up, and so is this Bima, and it takes the place of Korbanos. We read Korbanos from the Bima, as in Nishalim Aparim Sifaseinu. So let's see number 15. Umisvara Omer, Kevan She'anu Machazikin HaBima, Sheba Korin Parshas HaKorbanos, Kimo Mizbeach, Shemipnei Kain, Misavavin HaBima, Bechag, Hasukos, they would go around the Bima, Kimo Shesavavu HaMizbeach, just like they went around the Mizbeach. Ve'osa Mizbeach, She'amad Behechal, Lifnei Aron HaKodesh, so this is the inner Mizbeach, Shu Mizbeach Mikdar Kitores, HaYaomed Be'emtza HaBayis, it stood in the middle, in the center. Mechavein Bein Menorah L'Shulchan, equal between the two of them. Ukeperish Rashi, Parshas Truma, Kmevor Bishas, the Rambam. Vyan Habima Shalanu Omedes Bifnei HaMizbeach HaPinimi. So our Bima, since it's copying this, Akin Roy lahamido be'emsa beis hakneses. We should place our bima in the middle as well. L'demuso lebeis hamikdash b'chol ha'evshari. Because we want to make our shul as close as possible to the way it was in the Beis HaMikdash, ve'in l'shanus b'mikdash me'at shalanu. And we cannot change from what they had in the Beis HaMikdash to what we have in our shul. In summary, we've given 10 reasons in support of a high bima. So just to review, the first one was a person is ola l'Torah. The second one, the Torah was given on a mountain above the nation. The third one, Zechariah stood on a high platform to say the Dvar Hashem. Number four, Ezra stood on a migdal to read the Torah. Number five, during Hakel, the king would read the Torah from a bima. Number six, the Shul in Alexandria had a bima. Number seven, the Rambam writes so that people could hear, and we connected this to the Mechitzos. Number eight, Kabbalistically, the bima should be high, maybe even up to six steps. Number nine, many call the bima a migdal, which clearly refers to height. And number 10, the Chassam Sofer says that the Mizbeach was high, and therefore the bima should be as well. So I hope we made a compelling case for a raised bima. But what about shuls that have a shulchan like you find very commonly? So we find that Rav Yaakov Pardo mentions this, and he says it's okay. So if you look in source 16, sideways, he writes, Re'isi kama bati kineses kitanim. Find many small shuls. Shemutzin bahem sefer Torah. They take out the Torah. V'korin b'sheni u'v'chamishi. Mondays and Thursdays. V'ein bahem teva im dargin. They don't have a bima with steps. Ella shulchan echa gedola. Just a table. V'alel manichim sefer Torah be'esakriya. And they put the Torah down on this table. V'lo iraru alehem rabbani u'ge'one ha'ir hahi. And no one was bothered by this. So basically he says it's okay. Just to conclude, there's a beautiful description of the bima from Rabbi Yaakov Ettlinger, which we've quoted in previous shiurim, and this comes from Mrs. Dr. Bleich. She translates as follows, number 17. The bima should be in the middle of the shul, the same way that a seed is embedded in the core of a fruit, as the heart is in the center of the body. As rays emanate from a central pinpoint of light, so too the luchos and Torah were located in the middle of the encampment in the desert. In our shuls, this idea is represented by the bima, where we read the Torah, which is located in the middle of shul. This teaches us the centrality of Torah in the life of a Jew. The center represents equality. All of Yisrael has an equal share in Torah. All Jews are reminded by this to guard the Torah. In a battle, there's a flag that must be protected. In the same way, Yisrael has its banner that we rally around that must protect the Torah. So the bima is something which clearly has a central role in shul, due to the fact that it's physically in the center, and it has a certain chashivas and height to it, that we read the Torah from it, and it's my hope that more and more shuls will consider building high bimos. So once again, we could have all these ideas physically represented according to the old Mesorah of having a raised bima. Thanks so much for listening.